cool.
The topics and opinions expressed on the Dudes and Beer podcast are intended for an audience of 18 and up and are solely those of the host and guest. They neither reflect the opinions or values of either the sponsors of Dudes and Beer or your mother. I mean, seriously. Have you ever heard these guys? They'll talk about anything.
Whoa, hey, you think they're gonna show it?
They'll probably just blur it out.
Whoa, check it out, Beavis.
Grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome once again to an awesome ass episode of Dudes and Friggin' Beer. I am Chris Jordan, your host, and I am here this week in New Orleans, the Big Easy, with, well, my very good friend of life, Billy Stewart. How you been, buddy?
I'm all right, man. What are you up to?
Oh, man, I have just been kicking back. You know, we both came here to New Orleans for the weekend. You for your 40th birthday, me to kind of celebrate a belated 40th for me, as well as a upcoming third anniversary for my wife and I for being married.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I figured, you know, what a great opportunity to sit down and just have a Dudes and Beer episode. Just sit back, kick it, hang out, you know, and talk about passions, life, the last few days of just exactly drinking.
I was gonna say, man, you know, we can talk about all the things you want. It just feels good to sit down.
It does. It does. We were just talking to some strange lady as she got on the elevator about how, yeah, this is a walk in town, but as you run across things that you like, you really do have to kind of keep track of them mentally for things like that, and remember where they were.
That is the truth.
I actually started using this weekend a GPS tag app just to keep track of where we would park daily, that kind of stuff. Because, you know, it's New Orleans is just one of those places that you get up, you roam around, you're going to stop at a bar for a couple hours, have a couple drinks, maybe an appetizer or two, and then get up and walk around and do something else.
And the next day you find yourself face down in a gutter somewhere missing half a kidney.
Yeah, yeah. And just hoping that kidney went to alcohol. You know, that you really sold it to the right person.
You were trying to walk home and the kidney hopped out and said, fuck that, I'm going back.
I'm tired of your lame ass. I'm going back to drink some more.
I'm going back to the bar.
And yeah, you know, it's interesting. Before I came here, part of the episode that we did was actually talking about just New Orleans and the Cajun culture, the Creole culture, that kind of stuff. And, you know, it is a different, like even coming from Texas, like we do, you know, there's a good drinking culture and tradition in Texas as well. But, man, you really got to bone up something special and do your homework before you come down here.
Not really. You just walk out the front door and have a drink.
But it's like I told Amy last night. You know, like we went to Frenchman Street last night, which is just outside of the quarter. It's a little bit more. I'd say a little bit more the local fare as far as bars go, things like that.
If that's the truth, then the locals here are pretty douchey.
Yeah. Well, don't forget there are a couple major colleges right here. You know. Yeah.
I stand by my statement.
Yeah. Oh, I'm with you. There was definitely the douche quotient within the establishment.
It's one of those things where you come to a town and, you know, there's always going to be those people that are like, oh, you know, go where the locals go and do what the locals do. And, you know, and that's all fine and dandy. And I've been around the block a few times. I've been here lots of times and I've been to all those places. But, you know, the city has a certain vibe to it, and the big part of the vibe is the music and, you know, yeah, just kind of hearing the jazz. And, of course, you know, coming from an old metalhead like me, in the internet age, if I wanted to listen to New Orleans jazz 24/7, I would listen to New Orleans jazz 24/7.
You could easily.
But I don't do that. There's just a certain vibe and a certain atmosphere that you crave when it comes to it. And a lot of it is just the traditional fare and the food and the music and the, and you know, just the attitude. And you're not going to get that at the Applebee's over off on the other side of town.
No.
And that's actually where the locals go.
Yeah.
So it's true.
Well, yeah. And I mean, there is something to be said about the French Quarter being where the tourists go. That's where a lot of the big restaurants open, a lot of the big bars and clubs, things like that.
So, and I'm not knocking locals or anything, but
no.
The thing is, like, everybody that you run into, from the dressed down, nice looking waiter standing outside on a smoke break to the jester hat wearing, grenade holding douchebag drunk on bourbon, it's all like, oh, this is just touristy stuff. You ought to go where the locals go. Well, I don't know where that is.
Yeah.
But y'all are all here with me, so apparently I'm doing something right.
Yeah, yeah. There's something going on here. And, you know, it is a different culture, though, you know. It's like I was telling Amy, like, the difference between going on, at least to me anyway, mentally, between going to Bourbon or somewhere like Frenchman or just outside of the actual French Quarter, is that when you go to the French Quarter, there, you are obliged. Like, you're going to the French Quarter. This is what you go to the French Quarter for.
Right.
Like this. Oh my God! There's people puking and peeing on the street. Yeah. Welcome to the French Quarter, dude. Like that's. See, like even the bad guy here at the hotel is laughing and smiling because it's not what you want, but it's what is.
Somebody slumped over on the corner. Like,
oh yeah, yeah. All night long, man. Yeah. All night long, and it is what it is. And that's what people come to New Orleans. It's kind of like going to Vegas.
And seeing the old lady humping the slot machine at 5 in the morning.
Yeah, you're like, that's it.
It's not what I want to see, but that's what's here.
That's what it is. You know, and even going to Mamou, Louisiana, where my family's from, you know, and dude, you could go out at 6 o'clock at night and see the same 8 dudes in the same bar 5-6 nights a week, and they'll be there till it closes at 3 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
And they pay their tab once every other month.
I'll tell you what, man, I love this city. I always have. We're kind of dogging on at the beginning here, but
no,
you know, I always keep this as a primary, like a number one or a number two. Where do you want to go on vacation? Either insert name of place here, and if that's not feasible, then New Orleans.
Yeah.
And there is really no third.
Yeah, it's a great place to come to and literally just get away for a good 2-3 days.
The people are nice, you know? The food's great, the beer is cheap.
Yep.
You're free to do.
Well, and it's everywhere. It's not just cheap. It's all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
You looking for the restroom, sir?
Yeah.
It is that door right there past that archway to your right left. Here? That's mm-hmm. the one.
Yeah,
oh, then someone must be in it.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it literally is somewhere that you go and just kind of walk around and freewheel, you know. Even yesterday where we hopped on the trolley to go down to the graveyard and ended up going like twice the distance beyond the graveyard, but ran into a totally awesome arts festival where there was some great food, some good music, you know, and that kind of stuff is just to be had all over this place.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, there's street musicians all over. There's arts, crafts. Just, it's everywhere. It's great.
Yeah, I try to get down here whenever I can.
Now, what's your favorite thing to do while you're here? Like, what's your favorite haunt? If you could go, if you had one day to spend in New Orleans while you're driving through Louisiana and you had 12 hours and you're like, all right, I'm going to stop off and have a drink. What's your favorite place?
There's a place at Royal and St. Anne, and it's called Pierre Antoine. They have got a seafood crawfish omelet that is phenomenal. They've also got some of the best Bloody Marys you've ever tasted. They put the crawfish seasoning on the rim, kind of like sugaring a tequila glass. There's probably 1,000, you know, there are 1,000 restaurants, but I keep coming back to that one.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, almost ironically, is almost anytime we decide, like, oh, hey, let's try something new. Hey, where are we? Oh, here we are standing right in front of Pier Antoine.
look at where we ended up accidentally.
And it's not by design. This time we're actually staying across the street from it, so that's nice.
Yeah.
Right here.
So that's a good one. Coops over here off of, I don't even know what the name of the street is, but it's like three blocks
Iberville?
That way, off of Iberville. Coops and Molly's, great food. The first time we came to Coops is a first come first serve regardless. So if there's a four seater table and there's only three in your party, they're likely to sit a single person at your table to fill the table.
Yep.
And it's great business, but you also meet really good friends.
Yeah, you know, like, you meet some like absolutely random people. It really
the first time we ever came here, it was me and my wife and a friend of ours, and we got seated as three on the end of a table with a group of like six dudes that were all here from Minnesota. Like they're like, hey, what's the weather like in Houston? It's like hot, yeah. But you know, it's cool.
Yeah.
So, but no, the food is excellent. The service is great. You know, music's good. If you're wandering around, it's off Bourbon. There's a place called The Dungeon that's very interesting, very dark, good music, good drinks.
And I got to go to The Dungeon. I got to go to all these places, actually. Coops, we actually just went to for the second time over the weekend, and I have thoroughly enjoyed that place. I had, like, I guess it was their taster platter the other night that was just out of control, man. The rabbit jambalaya was just to die for. To die for. Some of the best rabbit I've ever had in my life, and I grew up hunting and eating rabbit. it is absolutely phenomenal and at a great price. And even the Molly's right next door was somewhere that Thursday, Friday night on Bourbon had some amazing drink prices.
Oh, yeah.
There are great places like that to be had.
And again, you know, there's a place called Winks that has some of the best donuts I've ever had.
Yep.
People want to get snooty about Café du Monde, but, you know, there's a reason the line is an hour long.
Yeah.
And let's just leave it there.
Yeah,
there's a reason the line is an hour long.
It's good and it's famous.
It's famous
because it's good.
Because it's good. And again, you know, it's like if we take the same conversation back home, and you say, "Where's the best hamburger?" And I can tell you that to me, the best hamburger is at Sam's Deli at I-10 in Kirkwood.
Damn, Skippy, hands down.
But if you say, "Well, my hotel is in downtown, and I'm not from here. I'm not from Texas. What should I get?" Easy. Whataburger.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely, yeah. Like, no questions asked. You're looking for in, out, thank you, here's the sandwich, Whataburger, all day long. And it's funny, I have a friend of mine, Nick White, who I've known for about half my life. He lives in Chicago now, and I follow him on Facebook. I see his posts all the time, and he's always, like, springboarding through Houston on flights. And he'll literally be like, I'm at home for 2 hours. Time for a Whataburger. And it's like he literally goes out of his way at the airport to go find a Whataburger and get a Whataburger while he's in Texas.
Well, and also, you know, there's certain people like John Goodman's real famous for it. You know, dude's a millionaire. He can do whatever he wants to do, and he'll go down and, you know, hit up Pat O'Brien's or whatever, and just plop a seat and eat some red beans and rice and drink a beer and be nice to people who recognize them, you know? Like, there is something about some of these places that's just phenomenal. So,
yeah,
this city has a soul. We were talking about yesterday is, you know, Houston, unfortunately, should and could, well, Galveston's more of, but would be a city, sister city to this one, but here, if something gets destroyed, they rebuild it. If something gets unburied, they rebury it.
Yep.
Or they memorialize it. If something gets old, they slap some more paint on it and some duct tape and a historical marker and keep it here. In Houston, if it's more than 20 years old, it's rubble.
Why is it here?
Huh?
Why is it here? That's the question.
Why is it still here?
Yeah, like, that's got to go.
And
I'd say, if anything, as far as Texas goes, probably Austin would be the closest sister city to New Orleans, as far as things like that go, trying to keep, you know, historic districts historic.
Well, Galveston would be the closest. Yeah. You know, had the hurricane in 1901 not hit, Galveston would probably be as big as, and just as...
Absolutely. They had just as rich a history with pirates and rum running.
You know, but that hurricane wiped them off the map. Mm-hmm. And truly, if that hadn't happened, it would be Houston that would be the burg and Galveston that would be the metropolis.
Yeah.
Had trajectory stayed the same. But now all that industry, all the survivors from Galveston moved a little bit north into Houston, and... So we would have a very similar sort of vibe if Houston didn't just decide to pave over everything.
Well, that's a lot of it. I mean, so much so that even my dad's rain barrel business has gotten to where, like, the city, whenever you put a driveway in, however many square feet you put in, they tell you how many gallons of water you have to collect to offset that soil that you just took up.
Yeah.
That's going to absorb water. And it literally has gotten to that point. There's almost no room left to expand in Houston other than up.
Yep.
Unless you start kicking people out.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you start getting rid of neighborhoods and putting in businesses. And I think the real issue, and I hear a lot of people down Houston, you know, there's some great stuff to do in Houston. The issue is it's an hour north to southeast to west without traffic.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's a sprawl. So as far as, like, a centralized location that a scene, quote-unquote, happens, it doesn't really exist anymore. No. We were talking about that yesterday with West Fest. You know, there used to be the Great Westheimer Arts Festival, stuff like that, that was regionally renowned for music, art cars, art, all that kind of stuff. People came from all over for it to both exhibit and attend. And... It's literally just the fact of there's nowhere centralized where that one thing happens.
Right.
Everybody's in compartmentalized districts, and that's why the entire...
And they all prefer to call the cops on each other for noise violations than actually be a part of their own communities.
Yeah, yeah. Or even like I was saying about the hole in the wall in Austin, like historic district. You know, it's right there by UT campus. You know what happens on UT campus. That's where all the kids drink. Like, the hole in the wall has been an institution for Texas and Austin music for 30-plus years. And they often build a high-rise condo across the street. Suddenly, rent goes up. And in addition to that, all the condo people are complaining, oh, we got all these drunk kids walking around.
Yeah.
Dude, you just built your condo on the corner of campus.
Yeah.
You think there's going to be some drunk 20-year-olds, possibly? Much less a rowdy club that you just built across the street from that's existed there for 30 years?
Oh, yeah.
But they're more than willing to do it to get rid of the club and bring in something new and trendy that will be new and trendy for another 15 years and then turn over rapidly.
Yeah.
As it always does. I mean, we grew up on the west side of Houston, and how many times did we see that where, you know, there are places right up around Kirkwood and I-10 that just turn over every 3-4 years. You know, there's something new there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been that way. Like, I've lived out there since I was a good 4 years old, and I know places that have turned over like 20 times in my lifetime almost.
Oh, yeah. But, like I said, it's... Well, with Houston, too, you know, it's a zoning thing, and I'm not a big one for telling people what they can do with their property, but at the same time, I'm not a big one for telling people what they can do with their property.
Yeah.
So yes, you can build a condo here, and no, you can't kick the bar out.
Yes.
As a governmental body, there should be at least that sort of discernment, you know, that sort of, you know, as a city employee saying, no, you chose to live next to the sewer. You have to pay attention. You just have to deal with the smell.
That's it. I'm sorry.
That's what you get.
Well, and it's, you know, we see a lot of that here, much like the baggage guy was saying a while ago, you know, that, hey, that's just what it is. Last night, we were sitting out literally right here a block away in front of the cathedral when two homeless guys decided to get into a fight with each other a couple of different times, like separated by a few minutes. But like, there's the New Orleans cop hanging out with some stormtroopers, and he just kind of glances over and keeps talking with the stormtroopers.
None of the fortune tellers saw that one coming either.
Yeah. It was interesting. Not a single person telling a fortune was like, be careful, there's about to be a homeless fight.
So is it going to be a problem all week but
at the same time, it was one of those, it was literally a self-regulating community. Like, you saw other homeless people that lived on the street coming up and saying, cut out this foolishness. It's not what it's all about. Like, you're giving us a bad name. You know,
you're going to get arrested, and then you're going to be really upset.
Yeah, exactly.
As soon as homeboys stops talking to the stormtroopers, coming to get you.
Yeah, exactly. As soon as he's done taking his pictures with the stormtroopers, it's all done with. But those are the random things that happen here. You know, just walking around and running into awesome musicians up around the corner that literally have an entire street corner occupied with an audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a good thing that the cops had the street shut down, because the car wouldn't have been able to get through anyway.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's amazing to me walking around, seeing that kind of music, seeing that kind of lifestyle, culture. I wouldn't necessarily say true bohemian, but at the same time, just...
What is awesome? What is authentic anymore anyway?
Yeah.
Everything's just a copy of a copy of a copy, but you do the best you can.
Yeah, and you know, it's like I see people walk around. Like the other night I saw, I guess it was a bridal party of like six or seven women walking around. It was last night, right over by the steps of the Superior Court. When we saw these six women walk by in their Pat O'Brien hats. And it's like, you know, my mom went to Pat O'Brien's on her honeymoon. Like, it's just great. Places like that, things like that, it becomes an institution.
Yeah.
You know, and it's encouraged to stick around. And, you know, it just becomes this huge cultural spot that, like, people have to go to. Like, you know, Pat O'Brien's one of those, like, you have to go have a hurricane at Pat O'Brien's when you go to New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least your first time. Like, that's one of the places that you got to go to.
Right.
And later on, you find out about the places like Molly's, things like that, where someone's like, oh, yeah, you know, you like this, let's go over here. Dungeon was one of my favorite ones. You can't take pictures in Dungeon. It's one of those kind of places. It's very thematic in both its music and ambiance. And caricature of clientele as well. And what's interesting is the true caricature of the clientele, because I saw like 60-year-old businessmen up in there.
Oh, yeah.
Like hanging out. And at the same time, like 20-year-old goth kids. You know, like in the same place. But oh my God, the sound was absolutely amazing. Like you walk upstairs and it's just like this baller sound system in this tiny little two-room facility that's like maybe 65 feet from deepest point to deepest point from the end of each bar, you know. But at the same time, like, oh my God, just incredible sound. Like,
yeah,
done properly.
The dungeon's pretty cool.
You know, and that's what I really love, I guess, about New Orleans is that there are so many different places that you can go that, like, you literally step into a different world for at least that little while that you're in there.
Yeah.
Like it is a world unto itself. You know, even I posted on Facebook walking by with my wife to come meet y'all yesterday, you know, walked by LA and it's one of those places that just has a door, no windows. It's in between two big bars, very tiny, much like Dungeon, you know, where it's like, oh, where's this go? But here's a guy in a black shirt. And the first word of the street hawker's pitch was titties. Titties, guys. That was it. And two dudes were in the door. Like, hey, it took no more sale than that.
Did he say no cover?
It took no more sale than that. Two words, man, was this guy's pitch. And it took all I could not to listen to the rest of it while I was walking. not to want to stop and hear the rest while I'm walking with my wife. But you know, it's hilarious because like right next to like this great restaurant with like gourmet food will be like a raging party bar, and then next to that's a strip club.
Oh yeah,
and it's just like what the heck is this? Like you would never find that lineup of bars or venues next to each other in Houston.
Of course not,
or anything like that. And the fact that they're all in one place just it makes it such an experience to walk around. You know, even last night you took
Houston is a place where you can have memories such as I saw you know Nine Inch Nails and Marilyn Manson.
Yep.
In what is now the Lakewood Church on Halloween night.
that's right. Absolutely.
It's because things like that do turn over. They take old concert venues and turn them into churches. And vice versa.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I guess for me, like I was saying, I guess turning 40, looking at things, it was really one of those, like, last time I was here was like 1997. I was in my 20s, early 20s. I don't even think I was 21 at that point. I really don't want to worry about the math. But it was one of those, like, oh, geez. You know, this is just insane. I came just before Mardi Gras, all kinds of stuff. And there was some Mardi Gras action going on. There's always some kind of Mardi Gras action going on in the world. You can go up over where we were sitting yesterday and catch a parade every couple hours between a funeral or a wedding or something like that. You could probably just pay to have a parade if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Literally, like you could have had a 40th birthday parade.
You can just get a tuba and a blue outfit and they'll make room for you.
Yeah, like people, I think I saw it's $50 for the permit from the city, $100 per cop on escort.
For sure.
You know.
Okay, $40. Not bad.
Yeah, do it. Have a parade. And it is one of those that, I guess I haven't been here in so long, I forgot what it was to come here. You know, I built up this whole thing in my mind about what it was for the longest time. And, you know, at 40, I appreciate it in a different way than I did in my 20s.
Oh, yeah. Well, again, like I said before, you take it for what it is.
Yeah.
For me, it's one of my favorite places in the world. So I, you know, for what it is, it's significant to me.
Yeah, but,
you know, we were saying earlier, it's like, oh, well, the locals this and the authenticity that and this, that, and the other thing. No.
Yeah.
Take all your pretensions off, check into your hotel, walk out into the street. Get some wonderful food, meet some nice people, have some drinks, listen to some good music.
Yep.
And pretty much just get over yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Quit taking yourself so seriously for a couple days and just have some drinks, man. Calm down.
You know, because if you need real, you know, you can go home and pick up the dog shit out of your yard and, you know, worry about getting your kids to school on time and having to call in sick when somebody's not feeling well that's not you.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, that's real. That's authentic.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. You know?
Well, even me, man. Like, I'm a workaholic, dude. I guess it's just because I do what I love. You know? I was talking to Amy about that this morning. I really... The whole reason that I do what I do is because I love what I do, and I feel bad when I'm not working because I'm blessed enough to do what I love to do on a daily basis. So I want to work, like, actively. If I could work 7 days a week, 3 months straight, I would. Like, and I do frequently between coding website, doing podcasts, editing. You know, between all of the projects and everything else, there's definitely a way more than full-time aspect. But coming here, even though I brought my laptop with me, I haven't wanted to turn it on once.
Yeah.
I haven't wanted to check an email. I literally just delete it straight off my phone without looking at it because I know it will be there because I have my... emails to just delete off my phone, not off the actual email.
Right.
So it's like, you know what? I will get to that later.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to dwell.
Yeah, I am actually taking 4 days And, you know, even yesterday, just going and taking the ride down the trolley car to what ended up being an art exhibit and art festival to going to the graveyards and just walking around for an hour.
Just see where life takes you for a little while.
Yeah, yeah, literally just wander around, you know. It's one of those cities that is based on foot traffic. And especially in America, it's so hard to find a city that is based on foot traffic. It echoes a lot to me. And it's interesting that a lot of these cities that are like that are coastal cities. They're cities that, you know, are major ports, stuff like that, like New Orleans, like Galveston. You know, my favorite one up in the Northeast by far, probably... I'd probably have to say maybe my favorite city in America thus far, Salem. Like, I love Salem, Massachusetts so much, and it's because of this aspect. Where, like, if you want to get somewhere, you can walk to it.
Right.
Anything. Any venue in town, any bar in town. There are a few outlying places that, of course, the locals go to all the time. But the places that I've found and everything up along the main drag, near the main drag, on little back streets... things like that, they're all right there.
Well, what you have is a delineation between the
year before they let the Indians start
that. The cities prior to cars and ones afterwards. Because the ones that were built prior to cars, you needed to be kind of pedestrian friendly.
Yeah.
And have, you know... we'll even say public transportation, even cabs being like horse drawn. You needed them to be able to be functional.
Well, the trolley car system here was one of the first operational in America. It came right after San Francisco.
But you know, then you have your cities that grew up after that that have a completely different mentality.
Yep.
So
yeah. Well, and those are the cities of the high rise. Yeah. You know, those are the cities that have, like, you know, like Chicago, like the Sears Tower and stuff like that, where it's a city, but it's a totally different aspect. And there isn't, I wouldn't necessarily say that there is the community aspect that there is here, where people are, like, close-knit, close together, know each other.
People up north are typically just not as nice as they are down there.
Well, a lot of that has to do with the cold winters. You get used to being locked inside for a long time. I'm sure you even noticed it with me after I came back from a good five, almost 6 years of living in Maine. There was a little bit of distance to me, you know, and I kind of distanced myself from situations. There is an insular mentality and this concept of, like, I got to hunker down and take care of myself and then I can take care of other people.
Right.
You know, whereas, like, last time Amy was on her way back from New Orleans, one of my bands from Massachusetts that I used to work with was in Austin. And she called me up and was like, oh, baby, I have a flat tire. I don't know how to change the tire on the Toyota. I've never had to actually change a flat tire, so I don't know, like, how to jack the car up. So I'm talking her through it, you know, get to the trunk, lift up the carpet. Here's this. She has literally pulled out the tools on this rural road when some dude drives by in his pickup, and I hear him on the phone. Hey, that girl, you need some help? Yeah. She's like, oh, my God, if you don't mind. Oh, what you got? Let me look. I'm a tire tech. She ran across a tire tech who not only is willing to help her jack her car up and change the tire, but actually has a patch kit in his truck, takes the tire off the rim, and proceeds to patch it on the side of the road.
Nice.
Where you're going to find that, I don't know. It literally comes down to country people who are used to taking care of each other.
Yeah.
You know, and Louisiana is one of those few states in the country where the barter system is still fully active. You know, like, your 2 pounds of rice is just as valid as the cash that it costs to buy 2 pounds of rice.
Look at that.
And whenever you go out into the country, like Mamou, places like that, there are still quite a few people that live off the barter system. And even the other night, we walked into the bar at Molly's, and, you know, Meg, your wife, was like, was that guy just negotiating when he would pay his tab in a month? Like, listen, I'm going to be out of town for a couple of weeks, but I'm going to be back. And I'm going to pay y'all. Oh, okay, no worries. Like, obviously a regular, but at the same time, that's how things work down here.
Of course.
Regular. You know, there is this community mentality. People take care of each other. And it's great. I absolutely love it.
I do too. And speaking of that, let's go get a drink.
Heck yeah. I love it. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Dudes and Beer. I am inspired to once again use ScaryDad.com as our plug this week. If you're into scary things, if you're into the holidays, if you are into Halloween, horror, fiction, anything like that, stop on by ScaryDad.com. There's all kinds of DIY projects for you, for the kids. Everything, all kinds of stories, some great links. Stop on by. ScaryDad.com is the place. Billy is the guy that owns it. I am Chris, your host. We're going to hop out and we're going to enjoy some more in New Orleans. On that note, everybody, Frosty Mugs. Take care. Have a great week.
You've been listening to the Dudes and Beer Podcast. Visit us online at www.dudesandbeer.com. Find our audio streams on SoundCloud.com and Spreaker.com/dudesandbeer. Follow us on Facebook/dudesandbeer. Thanks for listening, everybody. And until next time, drink responsibly.